You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hey, this is Tyler Mannion. You're listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. Check it out.
Door creaks open, static on the screen. Pop that corn, cue the screen.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And welcome back to the show. We kind of ended things abruptly in 2026. I had some medical...
25.
I'm sorry.
This is 26.
This is 26.
Yeah.
But we kind of ended things abruptly because I had some medical issues. But welcome back to 2026 and to our new beginning of our show.
Yes, we are finally ready to get back on track.
Yes. Exciting news. First conventions this year will be February 7th and 8th, Spooky Empire Charleston. I will be up there. So if you're going to be in the Charleston area, make sure you come on by and say hello.
Yep, that's his first Charleston adventure with Spooky.
Yep. So I'm excited about it. The last time I was up there, people are like, yeah, people go to Spooky Empire Charleston. And I was like, really? And so people are, fans were like, oh yeah, you should come by. And so I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. It'll be your first one of the year.
So our next con is, I think, Days of the Dead, Atlanta.
He's a little back and forth.
Between this and another convention.
Right.
But if we do this one, it's February 20th through the 22nd.
And that'll be in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yep. And then our last, well, not last, but our third one back to back is Scaradice.
Yes.
And that is February 27th. Through March 1st.
Very excited for that one because it is heavily Scream-based, which is our big thing. It's our jam.
And we're going to have new Scream merch for that. We're going to have new shirts. Very excited about that one.
The shirts are going to be legit.
If you really like Scream and you like Matthew Lillard and Skeet, you're going to love our shirts.
Yes.
So these are shirts that I've never had before, brand new shirts.
Yes. So even though he's got a couple of cons prior to Scaradice, you'll probably see most of our new merch.
At Scaradice.
At starting at Scaradice and then moving into 90s Con and then continuing into the year.
90s Con is like right after that.
We don't have much time after Scaradice.
It's a week later, so if you're going to be in the Connecticut area, we will be at 90s Con.
Yes, we will actually be in Connecticut prior to, I mean, most of these events, you know, we get there basically day of load in. Maybe if you're going by yourself, you'll get like a day early so you can rest up a little.
Exactly.
But for the most part, we're in there day of load in, we're doing load in, and then we're doing the show, and then we're getting out of Dodge. But because number one, it is a drive for us to get to Connecticut.
It's like 21 hours, something like that.
And number two, I mean, we clearly don't live in New England or near New England, and we are excited to spend more time exploring up there.
Oh, very much so.
So we're making, just like we did last time, last year, we're making an adventure out of it and going to explore.
Yes.
Especially Salem, which is perfect timing because they do have the Hocus Pocus cast coming to 90s Con.
So. Do they? I forgot that. They have a lot of cool people coming to 90s Con.
They imply they will still be doing some announcements, so I would recommend checking their socials out for that because they do not have, like, photo ops or anything up yet, I think because they still have some people to add. to the show. So we will see who all is going to be coming. But for us, Hocus Pocus is going to be a big one. But they also do have Freddie Prinze Jr. coming.
I forgot that one, too. Yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr. for us is very cool, obviously, yeah. because of I Know What You Did Last Summer. You know, yep. when we're looking at, like, the spooky side of stuff.
So, yes.
Yeah. But we're excited for all these shows.
Isn't Sabrina going to be there?
No.
No? Well,
she hasn't been announced.
Okay.
Can't. Yeah. She has not been announced. We'll say that.
Okay.
As of today.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 90s con, we always love 90s con. Mm-hmm. This is like our fourth one.
Maybe.
Yeah, this is like our fourth one.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we always have a good time there for sure.
Yeah.
And so. I'm just excited to go and spend the week
yeah.
doing things.
I think it's going to be very cool to go to Salem, mm-hmm. to Connecticut. It's going to be cold, colder. I like colder weather.
Yeah.
She does not.
I'll pack accordingly.
Yeah, pack some gloves. Mm-hmm.
Last year, I did forget my gloves, so I need to get on it this time.
Yeah, we had to buy some in Salem.
Mm-hmm, we did.
But yeah. we'll spend more days in Salem.
That's the plan, is to...
Because the last time we went there, it was closed. Salem's only open every other day, like maybe, all the shops.
And maybe try and do a tour.
Yeah.
Because we were
joking around that there's tours all the time. And last time we were joking around, oh, why don't we just join these people's tour? Yeah, there's
one that walked by us, and we're like, we'll just join them like we're supposed to be there.
Like, it wouldn't be suspicious or anything like that.
Yeah, there was definitely not enough people in that tour group that we could have just, like, shown up.
Slid in the back. They would
have certainly noticed.
Yeah.
It's not a large tour group, no.
So. No. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are cool in Salem.
Yeah.
Because last year she was like, oh, why don't we go to Salem? We're only like 2 hours away. I was
from the hotel.
Say less. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a day drive, right? And we go up there, spend a while, and go back to the hotel. So, yeah, we're planning to do that for sure.
We're going to plan to get some maple syrup candy. That's the best up there.
Robbie ate that in like one day.
It's so sweet. I love it.
We need to buy like a bucket full.
I love it. It's so great.
I tried one, and I was like,
this is too sweet.
So sweet. Oh, yeah. I could not get through it. But Robbie's, like, drinking maple syrup, down in the candy.
Oh, my God.
There's a video of you drinking the maple syrup.
Because I wanted to see what it tasted like.
It's like you don't know what maple syrup tastes like.
But this was pure maple syrup. Mm, come on.
It's fancy Connecticut maple syrup. That's right. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all the news we have for them.
Yeah. I mean, other than... like you said at the beginning,
definitely subscribe to the network, and we have more shirts on our platform. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were going
to
say?
I was certainly not, but way to just hijack it and continue.
No,
on.
Keep going.
No, go for it.
No, go to limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com. We have a ton of shirts on there that mm-hmm. we do not bring to cons or conventions.
Right. Some are online only.
Yeah, I know we have a ton of more, not Lost Boys, but we do have a Lost Boys shirt, but like Monster Squad mm-hmm. just uploaded that. We have two Big Trouble in Little China shirts mm-hmm. up there. We have the Swamp Monster.
Right.
Swamp Thing. If you mm-hmm. like Swamp Thing, we have a shirt up there. Mm-hmm. We have so many cool stuff mm-hmm. that you're not going to be disappointed in searching or shopping at our
website. Yeah.
And while you're there, you might as well subscribe to the platform.
Also,
yes. We have streaming television. We got podcasts, movies, mm-hmm. all the stuff.
Yeah, we do.
So for mm-hmm. $7.99, you can get over 100 hours of programming.
Yep. And an exclusive The Secrets Uncovered podcast for all of you conspiracy nerds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Josh and I, my brother. We have that. If you like conspiracy theories, we're getting that back underway this year as well.
Yep.
So, busy year for us.
Yes.
I wanted to start off the year with a bang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what were you going to say before I rudely interrupted you?
Like you do. I was just going to mention, just that, again, we're sorry about the abrupt drop. Not coming back last at the end of the year, like the Pixie Dust Twins, we announced we were taking time off, but it turns out we had to take time off from all the podcasts because we will get more into this if you want to check out our Chronic Pain podcast. Yes. We'll get more into the story, but essentially, Robbie had a trial for a stimulator in his back and had some issues that came up. And being shout out, we'll just say, to Health Central Hospital for taking care of him for a night, and to his doctors, multiple doctors who've been taking care of him. So it just, things kind of snowballed and it just wasn't going to happen.
And with the holidays and everything like that, we were just like, well, we'll just start over,
take the break
in the new year.
Yep. And then when we're ready, we'll jump back into it this year. So, first episode of the 2026. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do we got for him?
We are actually doing an older movie. It is turning 30
this year.
Actually, this month, it was released on January 19th.
And the reason why we're doing this movie is because Sammy has never seen it.
No. And it is From Dusk Till Dawn. And I know it's a cult classic. It's like a whole thing. And I remember, I think I said it was like 2014. Maybe Universal had part of Horror Nights. They did From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes. I forgot about this.
I just remember because when the bar came up in the movie, I was just like, yeah, that was the thing at Horror Nights. So I didn't really know what was going on otherwise, but it was a cool house.
Yeah, I forgot about it. And then you showed me pictures and I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I was looking at just for this year, and we're doing some planning, you know, obviously we'll be seeing movies in theaters and talking about newer movies, but I was like, oh, let's do some, you know, like older, you know, I hate to use that word for
classic movies, classic horror movies.
I don't know if I want to say classic because this was 30 years ago and that makes us classic. But
people think Dusk Till Dawn is classic.
They refer to it as a cult classic. So it's been around long enough to earn the title, but still makes me feel ancient.
Yes.
Yeah. But I wanted to do maybe sprinkle in some movies like this throughout the year that we can also talk about. So we're going to kick it off with From Dusk Till Dawn.
So,
it's best known. Oh, and shout out, just for full transparency, I did have Google Gemini help me with these notes. I don't want to like not shout it out, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just saying. We do this on the Pixie Dust Twins, too, full transparency. It's just easier and makes making notes much quicker for me.
Okay.
I'm just saying AI, you know, sometimes can be helpful. Please don't come at me for using it because, yeah. Anyway, so this movie, one of the things it's really well known for is it's like hard pivot in the genre. So it starts off as what seems to be like a thriller, essentially. It really does.
Okay.
If you think about it, because you got these robbers, you know, and they're holding up the liquor store. Yeah, they're holding up the liquor store, and then they're trying to make their escape, and they end up basically kidnapping this family in an RV to get to Mexico.
So they start at the liquor store.
Yes.
They basically shoot it up and set it on fire. They kill the clerk, and they kill the
cop.
The cop.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a hostage already from the bank they robbed.
Right.
So they find this hotel. Richie, and do you have a synopsis you want to read first?
I mean, yeah, I can give you plot and all that. So
let's do that first.
Yeah. So it starts off as a thriller, but then it moves into
a horror movie.
A horror movie by the end. So two criminal brothers, Seth, who's played by George Clooney, and the mentally unstable Richie Gecko, who's Quentin Tarantino, are on the run to Mexico after a violent bank heist. They kidnap a former pastor, Jacob Fuller, and his two children to use their RV to cross the border. But as you said, when we first meet them, they're in a liquor store.
Yes, they're in a liquor store.
And Richie is just
doing so much.
Making things worse.
Doing so much as he does.
Yes, Richie is quite annoying in this.
I mean, you can definitely from the jump tell the difference between each brother.
Oh, yeah.
Seth more laid back and cool. Mm-hmm. Richie actually just broke Seth out of prison when the movie starts.
Mm-hmm.
So go Richie for that.
I guess. Yeah. But Richie's definitely mentally unstable.
So they end up killing the clerk and the cop, blowing up the gas station. Mm-hmm. They kidnapped a teller. Mm-hmm. She was in the trunk. They go to this hotel. Mm-hmm. And Seth is like, I got to go out.
Yeah.
Richie stays with the teller.
Which
I don't understand why Seth wouldn't have been like, you gotta go with me.
Yeah.
I gotta watch you.
Leave the woman locked in the room alone. Like, she's tied up. She can't really do shit in there. Unplug the phone, whatever you gotta do just to make sure she can't escape or call somebody. Do that. Because you left her with this mentally psychotic bro, Richie.
So,
and sure enough, he's a fucking creep. And
Seth comes back.
Yeah.
And finds out the teller was murdered.
Yes.
Savagely by Richie.
Yeah. And Richie's got all sorts of stories about.
She's like, she tried to escape. She tried to get my gun, all that.
No, this old lady did not do any of that.
And I'm surprised Seth bought it. Maybe it's because of it's his brother. And he's like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Probably.
But I'm just like, oh, come on, man.
It's super unbelievable.
You know what who your brother is and what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He even says that to Jacob when he's like, oh, I'm sure you don't like it that my brother was eyeing your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
When they're driving in the RV.
Well, yeah, when they're first kidnapping them. So
what's the cast?
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Next step would kind of be to talk about the cast. So Harvey, how do you say his last name? Keitel. He plays Jacob Fuller, who's the lapsed preacher, who's the dad.
He's been in a lot of Quentin Tarantino movies. I believe he was in Reservoir Dogs.
I mean, that would make sense.
I think he was Mr. White.
I couldn't tell you.
But
Juliet Lewis is in here as Kate. She's the daughter.
Yeah.
Ernest Liu is the adopted son, Scott. And then later in the movie, we'll have Salma Hayek show up as Santanico?
Yeah.
Pandemonium, whatever. She's like the star dancer at the bar. Cheech. He is multiple people in this movie. We'll come back to him. Danny Trejo is in here as a dude named Razor. He's a bartender. Yeah, Danny Trejo is Danny Trejo. Tom Savini plays a biker named Sex Machine. That's how he introduces himself.
Well, everybody needs a name, right?
Yes. And he's got this like crazy gun that shoots out of his crotch. So, yeah.
It's off of movement and everything like that. So he's trying to steal a guy's beer and he pulls out a knife and the guy like flips a rope to try to grab his beer back. Mm-hmm. And his crotch gun opens up and he kind of looks at him and he's like, well, I'm going to put my gun away my knife.
You know who that looked like? Is that Greg Nicotero, who's the other dude?
Is it?
I don't know. It looked to me like it was. Oh. Yeah. Look.
It is? Oh, man. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, that's a young Greg Nicotero. So I was like, it's not just some dude. It's literally.
I missed it. It's Greg Nicotero.
Yeah. So he's in there. But he doesn't really do much. Tom Savini has a lot of stuff in this movie, parts.
He did all the prosthetics for the movie, the vampire faces and everything like that.
Besides acting in it, he did like a lot for this one. Fred Williamson played Frost. He's the Vietnam vet who joins the fight. And then we've got some supporting roles like Michael Parks as Earl McGraw, geez Louise, who's a Texas Ranger.
In the beginning.
Right. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. And then John Hawks is Pete Bottoms. He's the clerk.
From the liquor store.
Yep. Yes. Kelly Preston is Kelly. She's the newscaster who's reporting on
the brothers.
The crimes. Yeah.
And the crimes.
Yeah. John Saxon is the FBI agent Stanley, who's trying to catch the brothers. And then Tito Lariva is the titty twister guitarist, and his band Tito and the Tarantula provided music for the big dance scene in this. So to go back, basically, the brothers, as we were talking about, they're going to hijack this RV with the family inside so they can get to Mexico, because they need to meet up with their contact at dawn at this remote strip club bar called the Titty Twister.
Yep, the Titty Twister.
Yes. However, things do not go as planned.
Right.
Things go very wrong.
They hijack this RV. So when you're watching it, mm-hmm. I was wondering about this when you were watching it, and you're like, okay, when are the vampires going to get into this?
I
think
I asked you this when they were in the RV. I was just like, I thought this was like a horror movie.
Right. So up until then, you were just like, what's going on?
Yeah. I was like, what is there? Just like, it's a thriller so far. It's like a suspense movie with them trying to get across the border. And it's a whole thing where it's very tense at that moment because, you know, the brothers are trying to hide out in the bathroom and almost get caught. And the brother wants to rat them out. And the dad's like, no, we have to just get them across. Yeah, it's like a whole thing. And then the whole time you have Richie being like a fucking perv with the daughter, like imagining that she's saying all sorts of like
crude things,
like come ons to him. And oh, he's gross.
Some of the things I'm just like, bro, you know, you look at things filmed back then and things filmed now, and you're just like, they could get away with a lot more.
Yeah. But I think it's gross no matter what year you watch that.
Yeah.
And just of note, the movie was directed by Robert Rodriguez and it was written by Quentin Tarantino. And okay. This was George Clooney's breakout film role.
Really? Okay.
I'm assuming so. He was a TV star.
He was an ER and everything like that.
Yeah. So this got him that crossover. And if I recall, because you didn't do that back in the day, like you were
a TV star or movie star.
But yep. George Clooney was one of the first or the first to
Do both.
Both. Yeah. Okay. So to make that crossover and make it possible so more people could start doing it, right?
Yes.
Very cool. Good for you, George Clooney. Look at you.
I mean, he's up, right? George Clooney's a great actor. No matter what he produces, he directs, he
does it all.
He does it all. I mean, when George Clooney's in a movie, it'll make me want to watch it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I don't necessarily want to turn down a George Clooney movie for sure.
So,
there were some sequels. So there is a From Dusk Till Dawn 2, Texas Blood Money, that came out in 1999, which was a direct-to-video sequel.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's about a bank heist gone wrong involving vampires.
And it has the guy from Terminator 2.
Okay.
The T-1000, mm-hmm. not obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger, but the other guy.
Okay. And Danny Trejo is in all these movies, too, by the way.
And he's in all of them. I'm just like, how can Danny Trejo be back in it? Because he was clearly, like, staked and turned into slime in the first one.
Yeah, he was gone in the first one. And then From Dusk Till Dawn 3, The Hangman's Daughter, also 1999, is a prequel set in the early 1900s that explores the origins of it.
Now that one could be interesting.
Yeah. And we'll have to look into that and see if any of those have like what the ratings are and all of that. And maybe watch.
There was supposed to be a TV series.
So, the series 2014 to 2016, Robert Rodriguez developed a 3-season TV show for his El Rey network and retells the origin story, but dives much deeper into the mythology and backstories of the Gecko brothers and the Fuller family.
So that was actually a thing that was put out.
Yes, so 2014. That's pretty cool. No idea where you can potentially watch that or
yeah, whatever. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So some of the reasons why this movie is so popular, considered a cult classic, is because of the genre mashup. So like we said, you start off, you're like, it's a suspense thriller movie. And then you get to the strip club and it very quickly turns into a horror vampire film.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very interesting the way it just flips the tone.
Yes.
Suddenly, you know, and I know I was reading some reviews and, you know, like I probably on like Reddit or something where someone had seen it in theaters. And I remember this person said like they went to the bathroom and came back and they were like, wait, what just happened? because the movie completely switched.
Okay.
Because, right, like, you have the trailers and everything, but nowadays you can really know what kind of movie you're going into.
Right.
It kind of ruins the fun sometimes. I know we generally, if we're going to see a theater movie, we try and avoid spoilers or reading too much about it, just basic trailers. Because, yeah, I mean, you lose the fun of some of these movies. Now, this one is old, so I knew what was coming with it, essentially. But I was like, when the fuck did we get there? How does it transition? So it was still fun for me in that sense. But that's something that you miss from back in the day without all the social media ruining everything 5 seconds after something comes out.
Yeah.
Just saying. And, you know, of course, the cast and characters are very memorable, including the side characters. Like we just talked about, Sex Machine with the crotch cannon.
Yeah.
You know, so they're very popular, you know, for fans. And of course, it's got that fast paced, typical Tarantino dialogue.
Yeah.
That people like.
You can definitely tell that this is a Tarantino written movie. Mm-hmm. He has a very stylistic approach to movies, mm-hmm. and everything. You could tell Django Unchained is a Quentin Tarantino movie. Mm-hmm. Pulp Fiction. He has that like esque in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, this was actually the first screenplay that Quentin Tarantino was ever paid to write. And he was paid $1,500 by special effects master Robert Kurtzman. So Kurtzman wanted a script to show off his company, K&B Effects, their makeup skills.
Okay.
In exchange for the script, Kurtzman's team agreed to do the infamous ear-cutting special effects for Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs for free.
And Reservoir Dogs. I forgot to mention that.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out Selma Hayek was really deathly afraid of snakes. Not good for her, considering she had a giant ass live like python on her. Very scary. So it turns out the director told Selma that Madonna was maybe interested in the part. And I guess that prompted her to like go to therapy and work on her phobia so she could do it. Because she obviously really wanted the part. So
can you imagine if Madonna was in that part?
No.
Instead of Selma Hayek? No. Because
it's Selma Hayek is like, it's insane to how well
she's an icon now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like she's the best choice for that role. And you complained about this a little bit. So they had green blood for the vampires, right?
Yeah. I didn't like that.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that. So they wanted to avoid an NC-17 rating. So they made the creative choice to have them bleed green slime instead of red blood. Because the blood wasn't human, the censors allowed much more extreme violence and dismemberment than they would have otherwise.
Okay.
Now, obviously, it's been 30 years, as we said, so things have changed. Look at the Terrifier.
You're right.
They allow much more, I feel like, to happen with, you know, real quote-unquote people.
Right, real blood and everything like that.
Yeah, but that's what happened. So they made that choice because they wanted to basically make it more violent but not get stuck with that rating, which would have severely
killed the movie before it even came out. Mm-hmm. Especially in those days, getting an NC-17 rating basically killed the movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Psycho was going to get NC-17 rating back in the day because of the shower scene.
And now when you look at it, it's very tame compared to what we see. Yeah,
very tame. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, I think you could see a nipple in it. And I'm just like, how can you? There were so many like quick shots, mm-hmm. quick like jump cuts. You're just like, what can you see?
Nothing, but yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those iconic directors and, mm-hmm. you know.
So there's one part where Selma Hayek's character tells Seth, welcome to slavery. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And George Clooney ad-libbed the line, no, thanks. I already had a wife. And apparently the director didn't think that actually fit the tone and was going to cut it. But it was in the trailer and fans obviously loved the line when they saw it in the trailer. So he was forced to keep it or he felt like he was forced to keep it.
Wow.
I think that's kind of funny. And there's some Tarantino connections besides the fact that he wrote it and is in it, starring in it. Big Kahuna Burger. Seth brings home burgers from the same fictional fast food chain that was featured in Pulp Fiction.
Okay, I missed that.
All Right Ramblers is something that Seth says, which is a direct line of dialogue from Reservoir Dogs. All right, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
I don't remember. I'll have to go back and rewatch it.
I mean, and then Cheech Marin. So he, as I said, he plays three different roles. He's the border guard.
Right.
And then he's the Chet Pussy Barker outside the club. And then he's the gangster Carlos at the end.
So did they have to pay him three different times?
I don't know.
Three different.
That part I don't know. But
roles?
But it just made me laugh. And he definitely laughed when, you know, because obviously Cheech was on the bus, the RV, walking around, whatever. And then when they showed up at the strip club and he's, you know, he's looks different, but it was clearly Cheech. I was like, wait a second.
Is that him?
Like, he has another part in this movie, and then he fucking showed up again at the end. I was like, what the hell?
I think they did that to be funny, though.
It was funny. I mean, like, it is funny.
To see how many people are actually paying attention and being like, oh, is, you know, this is the same person three times.
No, it was funny. So no judgment there. It did make me laugh. And then as far as like budget and all of that, so the production budget is probably around $19 or $20 million. Its opening weekend, it made 10.2, and then overall domestic box office was $25.8 million, and worldwide was $59.3 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure the rest of them went down after this.
So the movie actually did open number one at the box office during its release in January.
96.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, Quentin Tarantino was the it guy in Hollywood because he'd had massive success with Pulp Fiction. So that was a big draw for people, is the fact that this was a Tarantino written film.
Let me ask the audience something. Do you guys still like Quentin Tarantino? Is he still a big draw for you to see a movie?
I think there's a lot of fans out there who probably would see any Tarantino flick.
I mean, we have to bring this up. We are a horror show. He said he didn't like Matthew Lillard.
He didn't like
Matthew Lillard and another one.
Oh my gosh, what's his name? I'm totally blanking on the, I feel bad now. I'm blanking on his name because I like the actor. Tarantino.
Hold on, we're pulling this up.
Paul Dano. I could not think of his name. Paul Dano, who I like Paul Dano.
So
personally, but the Matthew.
So
people defend Paul Dano, but Matthew Lillard, that pissed off a lot of people.
So here's my thinking with the whole Matthew Lillard thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Hollywood is a town about perception. Even Matthew Lillard will say this. Look, I'm famous in this category, but I'm not in Hollywood.
Right.
Because of Quentin Tarantino's comments, now he's in rooms that people were not originally thinking about him.
Mm-hmm.
So he could actually probably book more roles because of Quentin Tarantino. And perception is reality in Hollywood.
So I don't know if I have the exact.
I don't think personally Matthew Lillard should be upset too much about this.
I mean, Matthew Lillard did say,
because he was like, you'd never say that to Tom Cruise, and it fucking sucks. That's what
because he actually said that at a GalaxyCon. I think he was talking to fans about that.
Right.
Yeah, he just said, I don't care for Matthew Lillard. And then after he had basically said Paul Dano, like, is the weakest actor in Hollywood.
Can you imagine that guy being like, oh, man.
Paul Dano should tell him to go fuck off. I mean, personally. Like, at this point.
But the ego.
There's a lot of directors, and there's a lot of screenwriters. And there's a lot of opportunities outside of Quentin Tarantino in Hollywood.
Yeah, the ego on Quentin Tarantino to be like, oh, I don't like this one, and I don't like this one. And to come out publicly and say it, I mean, the ego on this guy. Mm. Don't get me wrong. He's made some iconic movies.
Oh, for sure.
But is he still popular enough now to fill put butts in seats in the movies or rentals on
he is
home TV.
Listen, this Muppet looking old ass motherfucker comes out and has the nerve to criticize two actors who, you know, I don't know personally. Like, I like Paul Dano and the stuff I've seen him in. I don't actively follow his career, but Matthew Lillard, when you're looking from a fan standpoint, he gets invited like to conventions, which I'm sure is highly frowned upon by somebody like Quentin Tarantino. Let's be honest. You dare go to a convention, I'm sure he thinks that's just terrible. But when you look at the fan response to Matthew Lillard, Matthew Lillard has lines as long as some of these like quote unquote A-list actors.
They're several hours long. People
have nothing but nice things to say about him, whether they're working with him as part of the convention or they're waiting in line to meet him, like the way he treats his fans. And that's a key right there, because Quentin Tarantino, I bet if you really met him, he's probably an asshole.
He's probably a douchebag.
I mean, I'm just saying, the way he acts and everything. Again, he makes, you know, obviously really great films. There's no debating that, because he's...
When was his last film? Was it the Hateful Seven?
I don't know. It's good.
Because that's what I'm asking is... Is he still relevant as he was?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in 2019.
That's right.
Okay, so supposedly he was going to have a 10th and final movie, The Movie Critic, but it was scrapped.
Oh, okay, that's not good.
There's no confirmed next film, but he's writing a sequel for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to be directed by David Fincher.
I did forget about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
So, yeah, that's kind of... It's just he's working on projects. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, there's going to be a lot of people out there who maybe are not, you know, one way or the other about Quentin Tarantino movies, as far as fans, who may not go see his movies on purpose because he had to open his mouth. And that's his choice. He doesn't care because he's still going to make a lot of money. He's already made a lot of money, right?
Right.
To him, it doesn't matter. But, you know, it could matter down the line for the movie studios.
I mean, things
they look at public perceptions.
Things are changing in Hollywood every day.
Yeah.
Every second, things are changing. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking the question. Do you think Quentin Tarantino is as relevant as he was when From Dusk Till Dawn came out?
The 90s was his time. And no, I don't think so.
But I do think he should thank... Quentin Tarantino.
Matthew
Lillard should thank him, because he got him in rooms that Matthew Lillard could not get himself in there. And his agent probably couldn't get him in there. But it takes somebody like a Quentin Tarantino to disc you. Mm-hmm. And then people, casting directors, are going to be like, oh, you know what? Maybe he's perfect for this role.
I mean, that's going to be Matthew Lillard's biggest fuck you back to Quentin Tarantino, is to just become busier.
Yeah. More roles. Mm-hmm. And I know he said when they do cons, let actors not live paycheck to paycheck, and they're getting pennies on the dollar and everything like that. But I think he should focus on doing more quality roles.
Well,
not quality roles, yeah, I should say, because I would want to see Matthew Lillard in a drama, something I haven't seen him before.
I made a list of Matthew Lillard movies because I would like to do that as maybe a series.
Yeah.
Because this whole thing, again, this did bring attention to him. We already like Matthew Lillard over here, but as part of Robbie Reviews. And he has a lot of different genres when you look besides Stew and Shaggy.
Right.
Well, and now Five Nights at Freddy's, he's getting like a whole new generation there. But he does have a wide range of roles, and I think it'd be really cool to kind of explore more of like the dramas and things he did besides the goofy things. Because I do think of him a lot of times as Goofy Stew. Although, I mean, Stew did, you know, murder people, but he's still kind of a goofy dude in the movie. And then, like, you know, when you think of... why am I blanking on the movie? Freddie Prinze Jr., Rachel Lee Cook.
She's All That.
She's All That. Thank you. when you think of She's All That, I mean, he's like a douche in there, but he is funny. I think of him a lot of times.
He's on The Real World. Back when The Real World was popular.
Yes. So, you know, I agree. I'd like to explore more of his roles and really dig deeper into what he's actually done in his career. I think that'd be fun to do.
All right. Just to see. But yeah, you guys let us know about what you think about Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. And if you think he's still relevant.
Yeah.
So back to From Dusk Till Dawn, since we got a little bit off. While the $59 million return on a $19 million budget is generally a success, right? Some industry analysts at the time did feel that this movie underperformed given the star power that was involved. However, it became really profitable through other markets like VHS, DVD,
merchandising,
cable licensing. I'm sure now streaming is still adding to it. So
because when this movie came out, streaming wasn't even a thing, right?
So
now they have to go back and add this to their agreement. Look, if you're going to stream this, we need to get some sort of percentage or royalty off of it. Mm-hmm. But what most streamers do, they buy out your back end. That means they say, let's say you get $50,000 a year streaming this movie.
Yeah.
Well, they'll probably give you $100,000 to the bigger actors.
Right.
They always like to 2X it. So that's your royalties. So that's how I know that's what Netflix does. I think some of the other streamers do that. I'm sure
the others would follow something very similar.
Yeah.
But despite all of this, this movie does remain one of the highest grossing films ever released by Dimension Films, which is part of Miramax.
And Dimension
from that specific era.
So. And what else did Dimension Films release?
Could it be a Matthew Lillard movie?
It can.
Would it be Scream?
Yes. Yes, it will.
In the same year as this movie?
Yes, it is.
What? Yeah, just saying. Oh, so, and it was interesting looking into this. So there were lots of vampire movies in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some other ones that came out, you know, around this same time, we had Interview with the Vampire.
Uh-huh.
Now that one made $223 million worldwide.
That's a great one.
Big movie. Bram Stoker's Dracula made $215.9 million worldwide. That came out, I'm sorry, Interview with the Vampire was 94, Dracula was 92, Blade was 98, and that one made $131 million.
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't know if we've done Blade yet.
We had it on the table, and then something happened, and we didn't come back to
but
it.
But so I remember watching Blade in the theater when it first came out, and I was like, oh my God. It blew my mind.
That's so funny.
Like Wesley Snipes, you just thought he was Blade. And it kind of sucked.
Good movie.
It kind of sucks that Marvel took that away from him.
But he came back in Deadpool versus Wolverine.
And hopefully there will be another movie to end his character arc, because I do deserve he needs one more movie. But I think it's a cool line in Deadpool. Pool and Wolverine, where he's like, there's only going to be one Blade, but there's been three actors to play Blade, Wesley Snipes, the TV series, and the new guy. And I was like, well, that's a big fuck you to the studios.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing with that line. Yeah.
So.
And then From Dusk Till Dawn, that one comes in fourth. And then there was Vampires from John Carpenter.
That's a good movie,
too. That's from 19. Definitely have never seen that. That one made $20.3 million, it looks like, worldwide. So that says it's a Western.
Yeah, it's it's a good movie, though.
We need to add that to the list.
I mean, back in the day, I was always about a new vampire movie coming out. I was like, oh, sign
me
up.
Look at all of them. There's so many in the 90s, too.
Yeah. I'm surprised Bram Stoker's Dracula, because that's slow paced. That's like,
but it was the second highest, and it's not that far behind.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, Interview with the Vampire is like the books. I think kind of helped that, and then look at who they hired.
Yeah,
come on now.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise in a movie together. People are gonna go see that.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know if we really need to go over all of this, but you know, one thing, yeah, from Dusk Till Dawn is these vampires are, like, gross, right? And to be fair, like, Interview with the Vampire, like, they're pretty
more
vampires.
Sensual in Interview with the Vampire. They're more like the everyday vampire.
They're very elegant, yeah, and refined and have nice fancy eyes, tastes and...
These, nice clothes, everything.
These vampires.
These are like the
exact opposite.
They're grimy. They're like dirty.
Yes.
I mean, they flip a switch and they go from like cute to being like, oh.
They look like lizards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it even says that lizard. Like they did. When Salma Hayek changed, I was like, oh my God, she looks like a fucking lizard.
Yeah.
She really did. And I didn't know who was going to be the first to change. But yeah, that was quite the contrast.
When Richie's hand was bleeding because mm-hmm. he was shot mm-hmm. and he kept dripping blood. Selma mm-hmm. Hayek's character couldn't keep it together anymore. Yeah. And she was just like, bloop, here yeah. I change.
Yeah, because they get in this like big bar fight because, you know, Seth and Richie are just jackasses the second they walk in there. And they pissed off a bunch of fucking vampires. So they all get mad. There's a big fight that breaks out. And
Richie
find out what they really are.
And then Richie ended up getting bit.
I was so happy. I was like, fuck yeah, now he's going to die.
And then Seth is depressed. He's like, oh, my brother's dead. And then he comes back. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, he's not your brother.
Yep.
And then I'm glad Seth comes to his senses. And he's like, you know what? I couldn't give you were a fuck up in life. Mm-hmm. And in death, I'm going to give you peace.
Yep,
and I think that's when he became the idea of him dying would be is better for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he knew who he was. Like, mm-hmm. as much as he didn't want to believe it and as much as he ignored it, he knew what kind of a person Richie was.
I mean, we saw that when they were in the RV in the bathroom and Richie's being all pervy and then he won't shut up. And he, you know, punches him, knocks him out. That was great,
too. I think it's funny where he's like, oh, how he could just be like, oh, my hand hurt. And how he wouldn't just remember, oh, we were arguing.
He has no idea.
But I guess not.
Because Richie's a psychopath.
So big brawl happens. And then they fight their way out of this mm-hmm. big vampire hangout.
And like we said, this is a big bar fight. That's really what it is.
It is a big bar fight. And
that's kind of different from what you see in other vampire movies because other vampire fights are, you know, more like, I'd say like, you know, sleek almost kind of.
More entertaining.
Like these dudes were big and ugly and shit. And
I think that's the difference between this one. It's the more mystique about this one. Is you get it's grimy, it's dirty, it's right in your face.
These are not high class vampires.
It's one of those things that this could happen. You know, mm-hmm. wander into a wrong bar you don't know about.
In the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And possibly run into crazy people. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny where they're meeting the guy and he's like Cheech's character and he's like, are they psychos? And Seth's character is like, they can't be psychos, no matter how psychos don't blow up in the sunlight. Mm-hmm. I don't know how crazy they are, but they just don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that is so funny.
Oh my gosh. And
so they're going to El Rey because he's on the run. Mm-hmm. And then they hide him, they get him a house, or I'm assuming it's just a place where people can go and be safe when you're on the run.
Blend in. I assume so. But it's really interesting, too, in this. I was trying to figure out who were going to be the final survivors, and I was pretty sure that it was going to be Seth and Juliette Lewis's character.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if the dad would make it or not, and then obviously he was the first family member to go. And yeah. I was like, well, there's no way the brother is going to make it because the brother was kind of... annoying.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely.
Sorry. But
do you think he should have brought her to El Rey with him?
I think that would have been interesting, but I understand why he didn't. Because unlike Richie, he's like, she's a kid.
Right.
You know, even though she's a teenager. I mean,
she just lost her whole family and everything.
It's as much as it sucks. I mean, it's not his job, even though he really fucked up her life. Because if he didn't start this whole thing,
yeah.
and bring them there, her family would still be alive. So it's, but he did give her money. So I guess there's that. So and he knew she had a car because she had the RV.
So he gave her like $100,000, let's say.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he handed her, but it was a stack.
Yeah, $100,000, let's say. And then she was like, go home. I think at the end, he should have brought her. Because after of what they just accomplished and what they've been through, they're all trauma bonded now.
No, that's true. But I mean, he probably thought he was doing her a favor, you know, like move on with your life. Because if they stayed together.
You think she would be in a life of crime?
Yes.
Yeah?
Because Seth is clearly not going to change. Even after living through this, I don't think there was much going to change about Seth.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I always, at the end of it, I'm just like, man, he should have brought her. Because I mean, it didn't hit her yet because she was fighting for her life. But at the end of this, she's going to be like, oh my God, my dad's dead. My brother's dead. My mom's dead.
Yeah, she's all by herself.
I mean, in the movie, her mother recently passed.
Right.
So her dad was mourning that through this whole movie. That's what made him give up being a priest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, she's alone, basically.
Now she certainly is, yeah.
And I feel like George Clooney's character should have been like, you know what? All right. You can come with me.
I mean.
What? You don't agree with that?
I just think he still was like, she's a kid and.
No, I agree.
It's no place for her. So
no, I agree with that. I'm glad. Although
leaving her by herself in the desert probably wasn't great either, but, you know, he's not her parent. So
I'm glad he gave her some money. Like, here you go. Here's $100,000. I mean, that would, if she does it well, especially in the 90s, $100,000 would have gotten her far.
Yeah, she could have definitely reestablished herself someplace.
Yeah, she could have went to school. She could have done things, things like that.
Yeah.
So, anything you did not like about the movie?
Richie.
Besides Richie.
No. I mean, nothing specific. I mean, yeah, it was really gross, but it was designed to be, like,
kind gross. Of
cheeky
yeah.
and gross and extra violent. So, yeah. That's not something I, like, dislike.
Did any of the parts make you uncomfortable watching it?
Just the bits with Richie.
Okay. Not when he's yelling at about all sorts of pussy?
I mean, after all the shit you made me watch, no.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, no.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't be somewhere I would visit by any means.
Okay.
We'll say that.
But the funny thing about it is these people still get recognized for this show.
Because it's a classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
I think Juliet is the only one that actually does conventions. Can you imagine?
Yeah, Danny Trejo does.
Oh, Danny, that's right. Danny Trejo.
One of the, Mad Monster or something
you were at. He was in Savannah.
Was that not Mad Monster? I don't know.
He was in the Superstar one.
Whatever it was.
Superstar. Can you imagine if George Clooney started doing conventions?
Oh, people would lose their fucking minds.
It would shut that shit down. It'd be like if Courtney Cox did conventions.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Yeah,
the lines would be insane.
That would be longer than Matthew Lillard's lines.
Because Courtney Cox never does conventions.
And I
don't blame her for that.
I hear people have offered her stupid money to do it.
I'm sure.
But she doesn't, at this point in time, she doesn't need the money.
She doesn't need it. And if you think about it, particularly her situation with Friends and all that, I mean.
And all the other movies. TV shows that they've produced.
Well, I'm just saying they've lost their privacy a long time ago.
Yeah.
And as much as I don't want to say that they don't like fans or whatever, but it's very hard for them to do things.
You're right.
As a normal person. Some of these celebrities that come to these, you can kind of still maybe get that normal vibe, right? But I would have a hard time looking at Courtney Cox and not being like, oh my fucking God, it's Courtney Cox.
Right. No, you know, absolutely.
Yeah. Even though we've met her ex-husband multiple times, David Arquette, could you please remember us when we see you in a couple weeks?
That'd yeah.
be great.
No, absolutely.
Please, David Arquette, for once, could you just be like, oh, yeah, I've seen you.
A lot of times. I thought about making
so
a shirt.
So many times, David Arquette. So many times. Please, let Scared Ice be the one.
Maybe.
Or you remember us. We'll see.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, she's one of those that I would just be like, oh my God, it's. But I mean, also depends what you're into, right? There's definitely probably people out there who don't care about Courtney Cox or if they saw her on the street.
No, not.
But I think that's a small number.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. But, and, you know, Matthew Lillard's a terrible actor, so that's why he can go to cons.
You're right. You're right.
Right.
Where would you rank this movie?
I mean, I would give it like a good 9 out of 10.
Okay.
I mean, I like the genre switching. That was cool, even though I was thoroughly confused. But I knew what was coming. So I feel like if you were seeing it and you had no idea about the movie, and then all of a sudden you're like, fuck, it's a vampire movie. That's fun.
Yeah. You know,
as a switch. And that the acting, it was good. It was fun. Again, like you said, it's got a lot of humor. It didn't take itself too seriously. And I usually like movies that don't, you know, they're in on the joke.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I agree with that. I'd probably give it probably a 9.5 as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very entertaining. It's one of those movies you can pop on and rewatch all the time and mm-hmm. know what's going on. And it, again, it's a cult classic. You can never go wrong popping on From Dusk Till Dawn.
No, I agree.
I mean, when Danny Trejo shot this, until now, I'm just like, wow. He is, you could definitely tell he's older.
Well, they all look older.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah, even George Clooney.
Do you think Danny Trejo and George Clooney keep in touch?
I don't know. Maybe.
You think
they're... I mean, George Clooney seems to have a wide array of friends. So yeah. It's definitely possible.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have a game for you to play.
Okay. Are we playing it together?
Well,
I think we should play it together.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you rather watch this or that?
Yeah, we can play it together.
Okay. My first one is From Dusk Till Dawn or Batman and Robin. That's my choices. Mm. Would you watch?
Probably From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
What would you pick?
I would pick From Dusk Till Dawn as well.
Sorry, George. Yeah.
Batman and Robin or One Fine Day?
What's One Fine Day?
You haven't watched that? One Fine Day, he's a reporter. Michelle Pfeiffer's in it. I've made you watch it before.
Are you sure?
Yes. Clearly, Batman and Robin's going to win for you.
No, I'll go with One Fine Day.
I would actually
Batman
go.
Batman and Robin's not.
George Clooney makes fun of Batman and Robin because of the bat suit. They gave him nipples.
It is funny, though.
I'm just like, okay.
I'm just thinking out of all the Batman movies, I mean, that's not going to be at the top of my list to watch.
I would go with One Fine Day as well.
Okay.
One Fine Day or Ocean's 11?
Well, I'm Ocean's 11 because I definitely know that one. I've seen it multiple times.
I would do Ocean's 11 as well. Mm-hmm. Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 12?
I feel like I still want to do Ocean's 11. Just because, I don't know, you know, like the first one, right?
It's nostalgic. The whole
thing. Yeah, I feel like I still would probably pick Ocean's 11. What would you pick?
I would do Ocean's 11 too because it kicked it off. Mm-hmm. Ocean's 12 or Ocean's 13?
I mean, who all was in Ocean's 13? That's probably a bad sign. So it's probably Ocean's 12.
I mean, it had all the... I mean, Brad Pitt was in there.
I mean, they always have.
And an array of people.
Mm-hmm.
Here, cast.
Trying to remember.
Matt Damon's in there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's like in it. I'd probably Ocean's 12, though.
I would actually go with Ocean's 13 on that. Because I thought.
Wait, what happened in Ocean's 13?
I thought. Because Benedict wanted his money back.
Oh, no. Yeah, Ocean's 13. Because that's when they do the bank thing.
Yeah. Or Benedict comes to them to rob the bank.
I haven't seen these in forever. We need to put these on the list to rewatch.
And he joins the crew. Because Ocean's 12, they rob him in Ocean's 11. In Ocean's 12, he finds them and tracks them down.
Right.
And he's like, I want my money back. But then Ocean's 13, Benedict comes back to them. And's like, oh, I need your help.
So. No, actually, someone changed my answer. Ocean's 13.
Okay.
Because it's in Vegas. Yes.
Yeah, it's in Vegas.
Like that. I like the
and
Vegas.
And at the end of it, they're at the Bellagio and they're watching the water show and they all walk away at different times.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's 13. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a brief history of what George Clooney has been in. I honestly thought you've seen all those movies. That's why.
Well, when did, what's the movie? One Fine Day. When did that come out?
It was in the 90s. Well, but I have made you watch it, though.
I don't think so. One Fine Day. Oh, 1996. Same year. I did not fucking see this movie.
You absolutely have. But
there's no way.
We will rewatch it.
An architect who needs to give an important presentation. He's a reporter.
He's a reporter.
Both are single parents. Mae Whitman is in this.
Well,
miss the bus for a field trip. Hectic day. They decide to put aside their bickering and juggle.
And they switch phones.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'll make a rewatch
of this movie.
But
we can add this to the list because I don't know. Look, it only is on like one thing. There's no way I saw this.
Okay.
It doesn't stream like anywhere. So
there you go.
What the hell?
I think it was on Netflix. I made you watch it before.
I don't think so.
But yeah. Okay. Well, that's our show for From Dusk Till Dawn. Let us know. Did you like the vampires? Did you not like them? Mm-hmm. Did you like the green blood? Did you not like it? Mm-hmm. I understand it now. I get it, but I still would have went with the red.
Yeah.
It just makes it more realistic, it gives you that feeling.
Well, nowadays they could do red because nobody would care.
Yeah.
But not back in 96.
Do you think George Clooney would ever do a vampire movie again?
I mean, maybe if it was fun like this, I bet he would.
Or maybe he might produce it.
I mean, or direct it.
Yeah.
He does all the things now. So.
He does.
Yeah. Who knows?
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. Please subscribe to Limitless Broadcasting Network. We got some great shows on there. We got Strange World with Robbie. We have Secrets Uncovered, The Truth Behind the Lies podcast. We have a Bump in the Night Chronicles. Mm-hmm. If you like scary stories, you'll love those.
Yep.
We have news coming now. We're going to be working on that. We got streaming television, all the classics. We're adding more each day. Mm-hmm. And we have some cool merch.
Yeah.
All of our merch is custom designed. When you buy our stuff, you're going to be a trendsetter. You're not going to walk in a mall and 50 other people are going to have your shirt.
Yes.
That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, just today I'm wearing you can't see it in the video, but I'm wearing the Stu and Billy Hart shirt, and I got a comment on it at the Cheesecake Factory. So
there you go.
Yeah, people love these shirts, man.
Yeah, and they're custom designed, and they're great.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see you at the next con. Mm-hmm. And remember, everybody's entitled to one good scare.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week.